Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Metzia is your daf. We're on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. And we just wrapped up yesterday one of the more popular sugyas here in the beginning of the Masechta. Certainly one of the highlights of the first parak of the Masechta. And that is, how does Shlichus relate to your Chatzar? How does your Chatzar operate? Let's start there. Right? In other words, we know that your Chatzar is kind on your behalf. So you have a Chatzar, it's kind on your behalf. Over the course of today's daf, really, we're going to be discussing various permutations of chatzar and the mechanics and dynamics of chatzar. How does chatzar work? But meanwhile, going back to yesterday's daf, so chatzar is operating mishum, and we have two fundamental options in terms of how your chatzar operates. How is it going on your behalf? It's an extension of you. That part's clear. In other words, but how does it work as an extension? So it either works as a yad or it works as the shliach. Okay. So your chatzar is either just simply going to be a traditional halachic extension, meaning it's basically your hand, but your hand extended. In other words, your hand is not just limited to your physical hand, but it goes to all other areas where you can access. So maybe your chatzar is just simply an extension of your yad. That's one possibility. And the other possibility is that chatzar is mitam shlichus. In other words, it's basically serving as your agent. And so when I appoint an agent to acquire something on my behalf, it works. So my chatzar is no different. My chatzar is going to be acquiring on my behalf as my agent. The Gemara pushed back on this idea of agency. How come? Because we know that a ganav, when caught red-handed with the stolen goods, so not only does he have to return the item, but he also has to pay kefil as well. Now, the pasuk describes where he was caught with the item in his hand, in his physical hand. So how do I know that if I catch the item on his chatzar, he also is going to be chayev? He's going to have to pay karen, he's going to have to pay kefil. How do I know all that? So the Gemara says, because we know we're going to include chatzar. The Gemara had a drasha, and I'm just recapping from where we ended off yesterday. So the Gemara had a drasha, and the Gemara says that it's included because we had psukim and we had drashas. But okay, psukim and drashas, very good. But in other words, but how is it operating? Meaning, how is chatzar operating? So if it's operating, it's just simply an extension of his hand. If it's just simply yad, chatzar's mishum yad, perfect, right? It makes sense. If I find the stolen item in his hand, so he's liable. If I find the stolen in his chatzar, which is an extension of his hand, hagam, he's liable. That's great. But what if chatzar is operating mitam shlichus? Now we have a problem. Why? Because we know ein shliach l'dvar avera. In other words, your shliach cannot be doing an avera on your behalf. The shliach is always going to absorb the avera himself. I send somebody out to steal, and he steals. And he's serving as my agent. So am I the ganef? No, he's the ganef. In other words, the shliach is always absorbing the avera. And the avera never transfers over to the person sending. Now, I say that, by the way, remember the second parak of Kedusha? Not that long ago we were there. And that is our notable exceptions. There are some times where the avera goes through the shliach and hits the mishaleach. But those are rare exceptions. There are two exceptions. There may be a third. Anyway, sorry. Now we're going a little bit too off field. But in other words, but generally speaking, the rule is ein shliach l'dvar avera. So if the chatzar is operating mishum shliach, so how can now the owner of that field, the owner of the chatzar, go ahead and get any kind of culpability, liability on something where he's the mishaleach, but the chatzar, of course, is a shliach? Now, hopefully, as I'm talking right now, you're thinking to yourself, well, that's a little bit absurd, meaning I understand how a person can absorb the avera, but a chatzar can go ahead and absorb the avera, and the avera doesn't get carried over to its owner, and effectively, that's exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara says even if chatzar is working mitam shlichus, still the owner of that chatzar is going to be the one liable. It's not going to be the chatzar. Why? So if you remember, this is where we ended off yesterday. Well, there are two fundamental things you could say regarding a chatzar and why it makes a chatzar notably different than that of a person. Number one, when it comes to a chatzar, so what do we say? A chatzar, I'm going to go in the order of the Gemara. A chatzar is not a bar chiyuva. In other words, a chatzar does not have any kind of liability when doing the avera of geneva. I understand it's kind of a funny discussion. The chatzar is an inanimate object. But what we're doing is that we're putting in halachic categories. So number one, the chatzar is not a bar chiyuva. In other words, the Torah does not prohibit the chatzar from stealing. So therefore, in other words, if the chatzar is not going to be a bar chiyuv, someone's got to absorb the avera, the owner of the chatzar. That's one way to say it over. And the other way to say it over is that the chatzar doesn't have bechira chafshes. The chatzar does not have free will. In other words, when the owner of the chatzar said, here, go ahead, Here, hold my stolen item for me. It's not like the chatzar is going to have a choice. What should I do now? Hold the stolen. In other words, it's right. It's obviously silly because the chatzar is inanimate and not ready, not capable of making a choice. But that's exactly the point. In other words, the chatzar does not have bechir chavshes. So it's either because the chatzar is not a bar chiyuv or the chatzar does not have bechir chavshes. Either one of those two would go ahead now and transfer over the avera to the owner of the chatzar. Okay, good. And then where we ended off yesterday, this is still all just a review and recap from yesterday. Where we ended off yesterday is that's very good. Now there's going to be a nafka mina. There's going to be practical differences based on whether we're going with the svara of bar chiyuv or whether we're going with the svara of bechira chavshes. And that's, of course, where I send somebody to do an avera for me, in which they're not a bar chiyuv, but they, of course, are, they have free will. Now, example number one we gave yesterday is that a kohen sends off a man to marry a grusha on his behalf. In other words, to be mekadesh a grusha on behalf of the kohen. So now the middleman over here, the shliach, so is he a bar chiyuv? No, he's not a bar chiyuv. In other words, there's no iser for him to marry a grusha. The kohen sent to Yisrael. Is he someone bechira chavshes? Of course he is bechira chavshes. Okay. So that's nafka mina number one, and nafka mina number two is going to be the man sending a woman to go and cut off the peyos of a child. So once again, is she a bar chiyuva? No. In other words, she is not under the iser of the Torah of Baal Takif. Right? That's a mishnah kedushin. Again, going back to kedushin, that's a mishnah kedushin at the end of the first parak. So she's not subject to the iser of Baal Takif. So therefore, for her, there's not going to be a chiyuv. Is she have somebody with Bechir Chavshes? Of course she has Bechir Chavshes. Okay. So those are going to be Nafkaminas. That's where we ended off yesterday. Umi Ika Lamanda Amar. So now we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We're on Yud Amud Beis. We're at the bottom of the Amud. Right? Yeah. So Umi Ika Lamanda Amar Chatzalam Mishum Yadeis Rabbi Batanya. So the Gemara says now, Chatzir is Mishum. So again, going back to yesterday's daf, we vacillated. Chatzar is either operating Mishum Yad or it's operating Mishum Shlichus. The Gemara says, come on. It's got to be Yad. Because I know the following, V'hatani, we have a braisa. Yad ain't li yellow yad, gaga chatzir v'karfi faminayin tamalamar, v'nasa mikom hakom. So the Gemara says, well, when it comes to get, so we know that the get has to be given into her hand. In other words, one of the most basic rules regarding getting is v'nasan biyada. That's the pasuk. The Gemara in getting spends a lot of time going over this point, and that is that it has to be handed to her, and it doesn't have to be put into her physical hand. It could be put into extensions of that as well. Her roof, her chatzar, her karfif, right? Various extensions of her home. In other words, anywhere on her property would be fine. And that is all a function of v'nasan b'yada. Okay, so now what are we talking about? What a funny conversation we're having. Meaning, how is it working? Is it working mishum? Is the chatzar working mishum shlichus? Is it working mishum yad? Meaning, it's of course it's working mishum yad. So the Gemara says like this: Linyan get kuli amalo pligi the chatzar mishum yad is rabbi ki pligi linyan mitzia. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what I'm going to now say. When we're having the conversation regarding get, we all know that chatzar is a function of yad. No question about it. Okay, that part's clear. Now the question becomes: what about mitzia? So, Marsavar, Yafina Mitzia Migen, or Marsavar lo Yafina Mitzia Migen. Okay. And so, one proposal of the Gemara is that, is Mitzia going to be now a subdivision of Get? Right? Which is admittedly a funny connection, meaning how exactly does Mitzia work? In other words, is it operating through the same system as Get? Or no, maybe it's operating under a different system. Okay. Good. That's one possibility. Ibaisim, the Gemara says, I'll give you another possibility, and that is Bektan Kuli Amalo Pligi Yafin Mitzia Miget. V'acha Bekatan Kamiflagi. So Marsav Yafin and Kat Miktano, Marsav Lo Yafin and Kat Miktano. So a second possibility of the Gemara is that, look, again, Kitana, Chatzir, Yad. Okay? In other words, it's a funny string, but string those three words together. Right? Kitana, Chatzira, which is now I'll be grammatically correct, and Yad or Yada. In other words, for sure, that's how you string those together. But now the question becomes the following, and now we're talking about a katan. Obviously, by katan, we're no longer in the parsha of get, meaning the katan is a male, the katan is never receiving the get. And by the way, the katan's not going to be giving a get as well. Okay, for another time, for another discussion. But in other words, but this idea now, that a katan is going to be acquiring via chatzer. Is that going to be just like a minor girl acquiring her get via her chatzer, which is yad? Or maybe no. Maybe by cutting it's going to, it will be different. And the Gemara says that's another way to present it. And that is that by ketana, her chatzer is yad. By a katan, his chatzer is shliach. Okay? And then presumably, by the way, within this second approach of the Gemara, that just continues even into their adulthood. Meaning, even into their adulthood, so women are acquiring through chatzer, but chatzer is operating mishum yad, and boys slash men, when they acquire through chatzer, so their acquisition through chatzer now is going to be operating via shlichus. Okay? That's another possibility. And then we get to finally possibility number three. It could very well be that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, meaning this is where all this started. So the truth of the matter is that we are in fact going to be learning Mitziah from Get. But what we're not going to do is that we're not going to go Katan to, we're not going to go Ketana to Katan. Meaning, the Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a Ketana and Reish Lakish was talking about a Katan. And that means to say that when it comes to a Ketana, so let's start like this. Meaning a Ketana can acquire, right? Sure. Because, in other words, she has a yad. And therefore, the chatzar is going to operate mishum yad. And just like a katana has a yad, she also has a chatzar. And the chatzar is going to be operating through yad. Great. That's great. Now, when it comes to a katan, so a katan doesn't have the parsha of get, as we already established. And so, therefore, there is no yad by a katan extending from that. Therefore, there's not going to be a chatzar by a katan. Meaning, in this last approach of the Gemara, so over here we are going to be separating boys and girls, but in other words, but in this last approach of the Gemara, what we're really saying is that Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are not arguing. A ketana has a yad, that's correct. A katan does not have a yad, that's also correct. Okay, the last and final approach of the Gemara. Okay, Adkan takes us to the end, and by the way, remember why did we get here? We got here because yesterday we opened up the discussion of Dalet Amos, meaning Dalet Amos Akonos. In other words, those four Amos that are that you're proximate to a Mitziah and you're going to be acquiring the Mitziah. So that was something that we introduced in yesterday's daf that came immediately after the Mishnah. Good. So in other words, Dalet Amos seems to be a subcategory of Chatzer, and that's how we got into this whole discussion. Adkan. We're on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We are at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins the following discussion. Ralo san ratzen acher metziah. Acher tzvi shavar acher goz l'shalo parchu. Ve'amr zachta lisadi zachta lo. Haya tzvi ratzke darko. Before I get to the second part of the Mishnah. So let's quickly stop. Let's pause. Let's explain. And that is that you have a couple people running after a deer. It's a great visual. It's a funny visual. And they're running after a deer. What's the funny visual? They're in my property. So there we have it now. Two people running after a deer in my property, anew. And what's happening is that I'm looking at the deer and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'd love to acquire that deer. Let's go. Now, it's in my property, so why not? Right. Well, I'll tell you why not. In other words, for my chatzar to acquire for me, so the deer has to be something that I myself could catch. Meaning my chatzar can't be any better than me. Meaning go back to what we discussed yesterday in the beginning of this morning. Your chatzar is operating mitam yad, mitam shlichos. But in other words, but your chatzar is not a superhero. Your chatzar can't do anything greater than what you can do. So your chatzar can acquire for you, but that's only in a circumstance in which you can go ahead and you can run after the deer. So that's why, now look back at the Mishnah and now read the Mishnah even more carefully. Meaning, ra'o san ratzen acher metziah acher tzvi shavur. So the first example of the Mishnah is that it's a broken deer. Broken deer, what does that mean? It means that the deer can't run. Right now, it's got a broken leg. So you can easily just simply catch up with that deer. Now your chatzar can acquire on your behalf. Alternatively, achu goes l'shalo parchu. Or let's say it's a bird, but hasn't yet learned to fly. So once again, you can easily just catch up with it and grab it. So now your chatzar is going to acquire for you. And va'amr zachzi lisadi zachzalo. And so here's the scene. So you have a deer in your field. You also have two people running after it. They haven't caught up with it yet. Also, the deer's not running particularly fast. It can because it's got a broken leg. Under those circumstances, now when I make the declaration and say, my chatzar's going to acquire for me, so good. So you are now the owner of that deer. It's in your property. It's your chatzir. Your chatzir is now going to acquire it on your behalf. Again, either it's because of yad or it's because of shlichus. Go back to what we learned at the beginning of today's daf, end of yesterday's daf. Good. So you've acquired it. Now the second half of the Mishnah, and that is Tzvirat Kedarko. Higher it's Tzvirat Kedarko, Shaya, Gozos Mafrichin, Vamazach Zilisadalo Amar Klum. So now, under these circumstances where the deer is just a healthy, regular deer, so now your chatzar can't acquire on your behalf. Because again, your chatzar can be no greater than you. If you can't run after the deer, no way you're going to catch up to the deer. So your chatzar can't acquire on your behalf as well. Okay, good. And the same thing with birds that are flying away. If you recall, a couple of times, Baba Kama, we did this. The Gemara in Beitza discussed this a number of occasions. Gemara in Sanhedrin as well, in the third parak. Anyway, throughout Shas, so we discussed where you have a birdhouse, and you have birds in that birdhouse, so the birds are yours, but not min ha-Torah. And that's only a takana de rabbanan. That's what's called darche shalom, meaning that somebody comes into your house, goes into your birdhouse, and takes out the birds. So, on principle, they're not stealing, right? Because, again, the birds have the capability of flying, and once they have that capability of flying, so just because they're occupying your birdhouse doesn't mean they're yours, okay? And then what the Chachamim recognize and realizes is that if someone walks onto your property and just starts taking birds out of your birdhouse, even though, according to the strictest letters of the law, it's not yours, and they're, although they are trespassing, but, in other words, but the birds themselves are not yours. So, of course, what's going to end up happening is that please get off my property and please stop touching my birds. And the next thing we're going to do is we're going to fight. So to create more peace, darchi shalom. So therefore, the Chachamim made a takana that no one's to take my birds that are on my house, that are on my property, even though they're not really my birds. Okay. And over here, this Mishnah, just reinforcing the idea that as long as the bird can fly and the birds on my chatzar, that my chatzar cannot acquire those birds on my behalf because, once again, the chatzar is no better than me. If I can't grab the bird, my chatzar does not have the ability to acquire it on my behalf. Okay. I'm reviewing Amar Shmuel. Okay, so what we're learning together now in this Mishnah is this idea that I have now a deer or a bird that's ownerless and it is catchable. So now we could use, I could operate using the principle of chatzar. And mitam chatzar, mishum chatzar, I can go ahead and I can acquire it. Good. So chatzar is a method of kinyan. Something is on my property, something that I myself can just simply pick up and take. So my chatzar can do it for me. Either it's operating mishum yad or it's operating mishum shlichus. However you want to say it, it works. Okay. Discussion over the course of today's daf. I'm Ravina Mashmal Vuhushom Ebitzat Sadeo. Okay. So, and that is the modification, the limitation of Shmuel. And that is that chatzar works, but it has to be supervised. I have to be standing next to the chatzar then, and only then is my chatzar going to operate on my behalf. Rashi describes it as a subcategory of shmira. In other words, in order for me to declare ownership of an item that's in my property, so it has to be a guarded property, a property in which it is secured in my property. Then and only then is my chatzar able to kona the item on my behalf. But if it's something which is not shum, or if it's something which is not guarded or protected, so then it simply does not work. That's the way Rashi presents it. This is a halach of Shmuel, and let's discuss.
That means that there's nobody else access to the.
It could property. Be that there are. It could be that there are other people accessing. But once you're standing there watching over what's happening, so now basically you can activate. You can activate this kinyan chatzar. But in other words, but if it's unsupervised and you're not there, you can't activate this kinyan chatzar. The kinyan chatzar is simply not activatable. So I'm reviewing Amar Shmuel v'hu shomei b'tzad sadeo. So v'tiknalei sadeo da'am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina chatzeru shal adam kona lo shalom midato. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't understand. Meaning, can't your chatzar be kona for you even without you? And why do I need you there? So the Gemara says like this. Hani mila b'chatzar mishtameres. No. That halacha that we just learned together in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, that your chatzar does not need das. That's only if the chatzar already is mishtamer. In other words, it's got a fence around it. In other words, once something goes into the chatzar, it can't come out. Then your chatzar can go ahead and acquire on your behalf even without your das. So, but if it's a chatzar shenem mishtamer, in other words, it's just a field. It happens to be your property, but it's just a field, and it doesn't have fencing around it, and it's not secure. So then, it's missing that element of shmira. So then, you can go in and you can serve as a substitute for shmira. Which again, now going back to that Rashi, that first Rashi here in the Gemara, now you understand. Meaning the requirement that you have to be standing by the field is really a function of shmira. Meaning your chatzar can acquire on your behalf, but what your chatzar needs is an element of shmira. In other words, for that chatzar to work on your behalf, that what the chatzar needs is to protect and to guard the item on behalf of you. So if it's got physical fencing around it, perfect. So then you don't have to be there and it acquires on your behalf. If, on the other hand, it does not have physical fencing, so the chatzar still can operate on your behalf, but you have to be there, you're serving as the shmira. The Gemara says, now really, how did this come to be? How do you know that this is so? We have the following braisa. So let's say you are in the city and you happen to own a field. And right now, currently, your workers are working out in the field. You got workers, you got sharecroppers, and they're out in the field and they are now gathering. Now, let's just pause for just a moment over here. Let's introduce ourselves to one of the Manos Kahuna. One of the Manos Kahuna is what's called Shechacha. Okay? Shechacha is really an oddity. Not name calling. Just it is. It's an oddity in halacha. Right. So it's one of the manos aniyim. It's one of the gifts to the poor. So in other words, peah we've been discussing a lot lately here in Bab Metzia. We spent a number of times going over peah. Peah is easy. In other words, what you're doing is you're just simply sectioning off a portion of your field to give to the poor. Okay. And we just learned in yesterday's daf they don't get the actual property. In other words, but by sectioning off a corner of your field, they're entitled to walk onto that property. And they're entitled to take off the fruit off the trees from that section. Good. And typically it's a corner, hence it's called peah. Good. So that one's easy. And leket and olalos, which we're not going to go through now. But in other words, under certain circumstances, under certain qualifications, there are certain parts of the field, certain fruits that they're entitled to take, without going into detail. Shechacha is a funny one. It's an unusual one. And that is that after you went ahead and you harvested and you bundled it together, so what happens now is that you're going to bring it into the silo. If you left any of the sheaves out in the field, even they're bundled, so now that qualifies as what's called shechacha, and now the poor can go ahead and to collect it. And now it's funny, by the way, the what's odd about it, and I'm not the first one making this observation, and that is that in order to give this to the poor, it has to be a result of forgetting, okay? Which is an unusual way to put yourself in a mitzvah. Meaning, right, as human beings, we forget all the time, okay? I'm particularly good at it. And so I got my phone and I make notes and so forth and so on. But where do you ever have, I don't think there's another example, where do you ever have a mitzvah where the mitzvah comes about, the opportunity for the mitzvah comes about via forgetting? It's unusual. Good. It's unusual. So anyway, so if you forget now your omer, omer is the pile of sheaves. If you forget it out in the field, so now it's subject to shechacha, and now you have to give it to the poor. Okay. How does that have anything to do with our discussion on hand? Meaning we're talking about chatzar and we're talking about shmira and whether or not the chatzar requires shmira or doesn't require shmira for it to be kona on your behalf. Stay tuned. We're going to connect the two, right? The kinyan chatzar and the mitzvah of shechacha. Let's go. Umenat teimra dechasu shenem mishtameres yom ebitzad sadeo in ilolo. So what we're doing now is we're looking for a source of this idea that your chatzar is going to be kona for you, but only if you're standing next to it. Now again, you're standing next to it and it doesn't have any other shmira. Then the chatzar is going to be kona. How do I know that? So let's do the braisa again. I read the braisa, but I should have given the introduction first. Fine, I did. Let's go. Haya omeid ba'ir. The omer yodani sha'omer sheishli basada. This is a minefield to read. Omeid, omer, omer. Okay, anyway. So, you are standing by the field. And you make the following declaration. Sorry, you're standing in the city. Okay, sorry, that's an important detail. And you make the following declaration. That I know that I have amarim, I have sheaves in the field, and I also happen to know that my workers have forgotten them. So lo yehei shechacha. And now at this point in time, what I wanted to do, or what I don't want it to do, is I don't want it to be shechacha. So lo yechol lo yehei shechacha tamal amar v'shechachta omer besadeh. You forgot in the field, you didn't forget in the city. Great. Now, you read the Braisa, I read the Braisa. Does the Braisa make sense at this point in time? No, the Braisa doesn't make any sense. Meaning, we know what the factors are, but the Braisa is not particularly clear about what just happened over here. You're in the city, you know your field, you know your workers forgot. You don't want it to be forgotten. You don't want it to have the status of forgotten. I might have thought that it's not Shechacha. No, it is Shechacha. What's happening over here? So Hagufa Kasha. So immediately, what we have to do is that we have to unpackage the Braisa. So Amar Yachalo Ye Shechacha Ama Havi Shechacha. So the Gemara says, look, read the Braisa. What is the Braisa setting us up for? I might have thought that it's not Shechacha. That's what I might have thought. So you know what the punchline is going to be, right? The punchline is going to be that it's Shechacha. And then keep going in the Braisa. V'nasav la Gemara Besadav Shechacha V'lo Be'ir. Ama lo avi shechacha. But then it says, do you know when it's shechacha? It will only have the status of shechacha when you're out in the field. But it won't have the status of shechacha when you're in the city. Well, what? Now I'm so confused. You're in the city, meaning the Braisa has you sitting in the city. The workers are in the field. And the Braisa says, I might have thought it's not shechacha. Oh, it's only shechacha when you're in the field. But that's not where you are right now. You're in the city. The Braisa is confusing. So el alav hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, okay. So we recognize that something's going. So the Braisa is trying to tell us something. What is it trying to say? So besada. So the Gemara says like this. I'll tell you what the Braisa is coming to say. If you're by the field, meaning you, the owner, are right there by the field. So shachuch mi karo havishichacha. So now at this point in time. So let's say you forgot. Okay. In other words, you're on the field. You're supervising, and you're watching everything getting taken out off the field. And what happens is that there was a sheaf that was left over there, a pile left over there on the field. Great. And you're right there and you're supervising. So now that will have the status of shechacha. And now that is no longer property of yours. That is now eligible to be taken by a niyam. Great. That's shechuch mikaro. And that's shechacha. So zarch lebesov. Now, let's say that you had never left your mind off of it. You knew it was there the whole time. So ulvesov shachuach, and now what happened was is that your mind, you the owner of the field, you knew the whole time that the sheaf was there, and that was always part of your calculation. And now what happened was is that as the workers were leaving the field to go back home, so now the workers themselves forgot that pile. They forgot the sheaves. Okay, that's not shechacha. Meaning shechacha is not going to be a subject to what the workers are remembering or not remembering. Shechacha is all going to be a function of the owner of the property. Great. That is what's called Zachor Levesov Shechuach. So, ain't Shechacha. So, that doesn't have the status of Shechacha. My time, Dekev Dekaiga Be Havile Chatzer Vesach Salay. Ah. In other words, why? Because the owner of the field is right there, standing over the field. And therefore, it's Chatzer. In other words, it's his property. And that property is going to be Zoch on his behalf. In other words, Kinyan Chatzer. Meaning, what's kicking in that is preventing those piles from becoming property of the aniyim? The fact that it's in your chatzir, you're standing over the chatzir, your supervision of that field as you're standing by the chatzir creates kinyan chatzir. Great. Ava biir afilu zachar levesof shachuach hav yishichacha maitam delezik abed lezachilei. Ah, but now when you're in the city. So I know you're no longer in the field. And of course, we're assuming that the field over here is an unguarded field. That's the ukimta that we're going to put into the Braisa. And now as you're in the city, so now what? So now you're trying your best now to remember the sheaves that you have forgotten. The problem, of course, is that there's no method of kinyan. Meaning at this point in time now, you left the field, you're in the city, you have no longer kinyan chatzar operating on your behalf. And you forgot at any point in time. That's it. Boom! Immediately it leaves your rishus, and now eligible to be taken by the aniyim. My taima. So the delezik abed delezakele. You're not there. You can't create a zechus on your behalf. Okay. That is how we're going to read the braisa. I admit that requires a lot of editing and narrating in the Braisa. Admitted. But in other words, but as we already pointed out, the Braisa as it is really difficult to read. So therefore, there you have it. A presentation of the Braisa. Now, if everything we said is correct, we just learned now together that a chatzar only works on your behalf when you're standing by the chatzar. Good. Mimai. And you know what the Gemara is going to do, because this is what the Gemara always does. In other words, we gave a way of presenting the Braisa, but let's push back. Maybe we're wrong. I don't know, says the Gemara. Maybe let's throw out the following for consideration. Maybe for something to have the status of Shechacha, you have to be standing by the field. It's just it's a halacha within Shechacha. Shechacha only has status Shechacha when you're there. But if you're off site, even though it was forgotten, it doesn't have the status of Shechacha. Why don't we say that? Maybe that's what the Bryce is driving at. So Amakra lo sesha lakachta, the rabbi Shechacha here. So the Gemara says, no, read the Pasuk. Right, the pasuk reads in more shlemus, ki siksur kitzircha bisadecha v'shachachta omer basade. Great, lo sashuv lakachto. So you've forgotten one of the sheaves. So what you are not going to do is that you're not going to go back and you're not going to take it. Lo sashuv lakachto. You're not returning. Meaning l'rabba shecha sayir. Well, where are you right now? Exactly the point. Meaning you're away. You're off site. You're off site, you forgot it, you can't go back and you can't get it. And lo sashuv lakachto is a bit of a ribuy of lashon. So why would the Torah say that? To teach me that even if you're in the city and you forgot, it still will have the status of shechacha. So for a moment, what we suggested, the Braisa come there coming to teach me, is that shechacha sayir is not considered shechacha. The Gemara basically says, but that's not right. It's simply not right. Ah, v'akadimei bai lelecha d'nan, the Gemara says, okay, really, the lo sashuv lakachto is telling me that shechacha's ear is considered, it's still considered shechacha. Gemara says, I already know what to do with the pasuk of lo sashuv lakachto. And that is shalafan of ain shechacha, shalachav yesh shechacha. Okay, you're going up the row. Okay? You can't forget something that's upcoming. Now, it happens to be I'm really good at forgetting, and just watch me. But in other words, but in terms of going up the row of your grain, and in other words, and you're moving in that direction. So halacha does not allow you, even if you do forget. In other words, if it's upcoming, if it's coming in your pathway, up in your pathway, so then it does not have the status of shechacha. However, once you pass it and forgot about it, now it does have the status of shechacha. And how do I know that? So, in other words, then it's all going to be a function of, do I have to turn around? Do I have to turn around? Meaning that's what we're learning from the pasuk of lo sashuv lakachto. If I have to turn around because I forgot it, then it's subject to shechacha. But if I don't have to turn around, i.e., it's upcoming, so then it's not subject to shechacha.
Are you saying that the owner has to have visual contact with the produce before it can become eligible to shechacha?
I don't know. In other words, what's clear over here, it's. Right. If you're walking in the direction, even if, I don't know if you have to see it, you don't have to see it, that part I'm not sure about. But in other words, but it's upcoming, and I don't have to physically turn around. Ooh, I forgot it, and you turn around, right? In other words, you get to your car, where are the keys? Okay, that's lo sashuv. I understand. Silly example, by the way, but in other words, now you have to turn around, you have to go back in. And the same thing regarding the shechacha of the field. In other words, it only will have status of shechacha when you're required to turn around, i.e. you passed it already. And now, ooh, I forgot it. I got to turn around. Ah, that's shechacha. But if it's upcoming, again, I don't know about visualization, it's not shechacha. Good. So, Amar Ravashi. So the problem now is as follows, and that's lo sashuv lakachto. We already have a drasha for it. You wanted to extend it to even shechacha's ear. The Gemara says, yeah, but I already have a drasha for it. So, Amar Ravashi, Amar Kra. So, yeah, l'rabba shechacha's ear. Okay, so we're just going to, we're going to tease out more drashas. Meaning, we're right. Shechacha's ear is considered shechacha, but we're not learning it from the pasuk of lo sashuv lakachto, but rather from the word yiyeh. It's a ribuy. It's in the pasuk. Kena ma'ula v'husha omi b'tzah sedeo. No, I'm sorry. Pause. Okay.
That's even if you made a declaration, I don't want that to be...
Yeah, in other words...
And then he forget, you went to the city, and then he forgot. Then it still becomes shechacha.
It sounds that way. Absolutely sounds that way. Okay, good. So where do we where are we right now in the Gemara? So again, the Mishnah has a scenario in which deer is running through your field. It's not running fast. It can't run fast. It's got a broken leg, and people are running after it. And the reason why the Mishnah over here is giving such a creative, dynamic scenario is just to make the point that your chatzar can be kona on your behalf over the people that are running after the deer. And why? Because your chatzar can be kona. Good. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. On that, now we put in a significant qualifier. Your chatzar can be kona on your behalf, but you have to be standing by the chatzar. Why? Because you're providing the requisite shmira necessary for your chatzar to work. And now this idea that your chatzar can only be kona, but only with you standing there providing the shmira. And how do we know that? So we turn to a halacha of shechacha, and we went through a brisa, and we untangled the brisa, and there it is, right there in the brisa. Okay, next. So over here in today's daf, a little bit unusual, and that is we have a lot of agreement, and that is that Ula said it, and Rabba Bar Bar Chana said it, and we have a number of Amoraim who are all agreeing that for your chatzar to be kona on your behalf, you have to be omed bitzad sadeh. You have to be standing right there providing the shmira. Eizve Rabbi Abel Ula, the Gemara says, okay, let's challenge Ula from the following, and that is, we have Tanayim on the boat. Okay, a story that's told a number of times. It's the Mishnah Meister Sheni, and the Tanayim are Rabbi Gamliel with an assortment of other Tanayim we're going to introduce to who else was on the boat in just a moment, and the following. And Rabbi Gamliel now remembers that the fruit in his house, he didn't take off Shemus HaMeisers. So, but what he does not want to do is he does not want to leave his fruit that he just harvested to be in a state of tevel. Okay, in other words, a number of times throughout Shas we get this idea that you're Talmid Chacham. So, what do? Your first opportunity to take off Trumas HaMaisos, you take care of it right away, right? The mitzvah Bali Adcha. In other words, Zrizim Akim LaMitzvos. Okay, whatever. You should be taking care of it right away. Good. And for whatever reason, Rabbi Gamliel didn't. Okay. I feel a little uncomfortable saying it, but that's what happened. And so now they're on the boat, and what he would like to do now is take off Trumas HaMaisos. So, and he would like to do so, obviously, off-site, right? Virtually take off Trumas HaMaisos. But I say virtually, you know, I don't really mean virtually. Remote. Remote. He wants to do it remote. So I'm Rabbi Gamliel, Yisr Shani Asi Lamod. So the Gemara says he does the following. And that is that Maisa Rishon. So, Nason Yehoshua. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it now to Yehoshua. So, Yehoshua ben Chananya was on the boat together with him. And he happened to have been a Levi. And so, good. So, and Rashi gives us a Gemara in Erchin that tells us that Rabbi Yehoshua was a Levi. Obviously, in the context of the story, we know he's a Levi. And so now, transfer. How do you transfer remotely? That's a good question. Mikamo Muskar Lo. So what he does is that he rents out his property. Oh. So I rent out my property and now you're going to acquire it. Okay. Now, momentarily, we're going to think to ourselves, so the acquisition is done how? Kinyan Chatzar. Of course, the problem is that they're currently right now way off site. They're on a boat. Okay. I'll hold that thought. Now, what about Meister Sheni? So for Meister Sheni, what he's going to do is he's going to give it to Akiva ben Yosef, who happens to also be on the boat as well. How do you transfer the Meister Ani to Akiva ben Yosef? What he did is he did the same thing, and that is that he rented out the property that was directly underneath the Meister Ani. Okay, the Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Akiva b'tzad sadeh shorving gamliel hayomdim. And now here's the problem. The problem is that right now the Gemara is thinking, how is the kinyan being done? It's being done via kinyan chatzer. Yeah, but we just learned Ula said it, and every Amora today that we've quoted said it, and that is that for kinyan chatzer to work, what do I need? I need to be standing b'tzad sadeh. And over here, everyone's on the boat. So he says, wow, that is very unimpressive. Meaning, it's as if you're not holding and learning. Now I know it's a little strong, but in other words, but he also Ahachi Amar Ula Vahachi Usvise. Amar Le Omer Rabban Rami Gamla Matalta Agam Mekarke Hikna Lahem. So the Gemara says, boy, did you misunderstand. You whiffed. You whiffed on what happened over there. Meaning the story is what exactly the story is told. But you assumed that the Kenyan was Kenyan Chatzar. Incorrect. You know what the Kenyan was? Kenyan Agav. Okay. And we all know that Kenyan Agav allows for an acquisition to be done twofold. In other words, I'm going to acquire a property, and together with the property, I'm going to acquire Metaltalin as well. Now, you could do that. In other words, you can create a Kinyan Agav. And what's a Chiddush of Kinyan Agav? In other words, property is acquired one way and Metaltalin acquired another way. Karka is acquired through either Kesef, Shtar, or Chazaka, but you don't have to physically be there and you don't have to hand over the Karka. Mishicha is not a method of Kinyan when it comes to Karka. It's either Kesef, Shtar, or Chazaka. And when it comes to Metaltalin, Metaltalin has to be done via Mishicha. But if I'm going to do Agav, I'll do a kinyan on the karka, and then the metalton will come with it. So you're thinking that the kinyan is operating through kinyan chatzir. Incorrect. The kinyan is coming through kinyan agav. Rabbi Zera kabla, Rabbi Abba lo kabla. So now Rabbi Zera said, wow, that's a good answer. Rabbi Abba said, no, I don't like it. Am Rav Shapi Avid lo kabla. V'chilo ayalahem suda liknos mimena b'chalipin. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Why wouldn't you accept that as an answer? It sounds like a great answer. So the Gemara says, okay, because I'll tell you why. Because if the only struggle over there was creating a kinyan, is that the only struggle? I got this great idea, and that is, use a kinyan sudar, use chalipin. In other words, a kinyan sudar just simply means that what we're going to do is that we're going to concretize the acquisition and the transfer by me giving you something of value, and you're going to be receiving it from me. And that will solidify the fact that we have transaction. In other words, Kinyan Sudar, which we've seen time and again throughout Shas. And oh, by the way, Kinyan Sudar works for property, and it works for movables. So in other words, if the only issue was Kinyan, use a Kinyan Sudar. So, and why didn't they use Kinyan Sudar? So Ella Tovasana Eino Mamun Liknos Mimana Bechalipin Hachinami Tovasana Eino Mamun Liknos Algabe Karka. Because what are we transferring over here? In other words, what we're transferring over here is not a commodity. It's just simply Tova Sana. So what is Tova Sana? That's a great question. So Tova Sana is effectively the right of allocation. So the right of allocation is really what is being transferred. Now, a little bit unclear, by the way, if we're talking about the Maaser Rishon or we're talking about the Maaser Ani. It seems more like we're talking about the Maaser Ani than we were talking about the Maaser Rishon. The Maaser Rishon, we're actually transferring over the Maaser Rishon to Rabbi Yoshua. Sounds a little bit more like we're talking about the Maaser Ani, but either way. In other words, what's being transferred over here is not the actual commodity itself, but the right to allocate. That's what's called Tova Sana. Tova Sana is something that is not transferable, neither using Chalipin, nor using Kinyan Agav. So the Gemara says, "V'lohi manos kahuna nesina k'siva bay chalipin derech mekoch hamemkahu metalton agav mekarka nesina ali masahi." The Gemara says, "Okay, I'll entertain that idea, but not terribly long." Meaning, the Gemara immediately rejects that idea. The Gemara says that no, when it comes to matanos, in this case matanos, and that's why I was struggling a little bit moments earlier. If we were just talking about the Maaser Ani, we're even talking about the Maaser Rishon. But anyway, But the point is that it is a nesina. Every one of the matanos is described as a nesina, meaning it operates with the regular rules of transaction. And transaction is done via agav, via sudar. And so therefore, even though if all what you're transferring is tova sana, it doesn't matter. In other words, you could transfer it using the regular rules of kinyanim. Okay, good. Adkan, we're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up with Rav Papa. Right. And let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay. Today, what we did is that a katana has a yad. That we know for sure. In other words, does a katan also have a yad? So that's open for a discussion, a debate, and that's what we debated finishing up yesterday's daf. It could very well be that was the third proposal of the Gemara today. A katana has a yad, and meanwhile, a katan does not have a yad. Right? It could really go like that. And oh, by the way, that's how the Rambam does in fact pasken. Okay, that's number one. Number two, and that is that basically took up the remainder of today's daf, and that is that kinyan chatzer, you have a something of hefker going now through your field. it's something that you yourself can go ahead and just simply pick up, or it's not running particularly fast, and you can run after it. So you can acquire it via Kinyan Chatzer. That's the Mishnah. But then beyond the Mishnah, what we also saw today is this idea that in order for your Chatzer to work, it has to be a Chatzer HaMishtameres. Now that can be accomplished in one of two ways. Either number one, it's got fencing around it. So then the Chatzer can acquire on your behalf. But if it doesn't, then you have to be standing by the Chatzer. And what we did over the course of today is that we saw this via the halachas of Shechacha, and we also saw this via the remote transfer of Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani that was done by Rabbi Gamliel on the boat. And how did he do that remote transfer? Well, at first the Gemara thought it was Kinyan Chatzer. The Gemara says, okay, that's not correct. In other words, it's done via Kinyan Agav, but at first the Gemara thought that was also done via Kinyan Chatzer. Okay, Adkar.